Blog Talk Radio.
You already know. Welcome to the war room. We got Dev.
What up?
Kim.
Hello.
PJ. B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic. Sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Football is back. Welcome, sports fans, to a very special edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. And today marks our 50th episode. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm in the building with my War Room co-hosts and my homies, Jimmy Williams, Akil Bayon, and B. Austin going to join us a little bit later. Shout out to PJ, who'll probably be back with us next week. Tonight, we're going to discuss all the sports stories of the week as usual. But with the new deal in place, you know it's time to talk about the frenzy of player movement in the NFL. We want to hear your thoughts on the NFL, so join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom and call in when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. We'd like to take a moment to thank all of our fans who continue to support and help our show and our company grow. Your word-of-mouth marketing and constant input on our Facebook and Twitter pages are what make our 50th episode even possible. So we salute you. Quick shout out to everyone who has helped us along the way so far. These are the people we collaborate with and or look forward to collaborating with in the future. So shout out to our boys Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line, Danny and Mel of Ball Control Radio, Billy and the boys of the Imaginary Players, Drew of Buzz on Broad, and all of our advertisers and sponsors. Now let's see who's having a birthday. But even before that, fellas, how's it feel? 50th show. What's up?
Man, I'm just ready. I'm ready to get to work, good brother.
Ready to get to work for the 50th time? Man, I'm feeling over there.
Yo, man, it's like it happened so quickly. You know, it hasn't even been a year yet. And it's like, you know, I feel like we've done so much and produced so much content and added so much in less than a year. You know, it's just amazing.
All right, well, let's get it. Birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland.
My birthday, yay!
First birthday today, fellas, is one Mr. Paul Douglas Collins, better known to the lay world as Doug Collins, coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Kill, what do you think of when you think of Mr. Doug Collins?
Yo, I think people just remember him as a coach, but yo, he was one of the baddest NBA players ever, let's say top 50 status, but his injuries slowed his career. Like, you know, not that race has anything to do with it, but a lot of, you know, African Americans would be like, yo, that's one, you know, white basketball player that can go into any hood or play with, you know, 9 other black guys and just dominate, you know, back in the 70s. So, yeah, shout out to Doug Collins being nice.
I think you're right, because, yeah, Doug was a beast on the floor himself. He's a pretty good coach as well. He's the kind of coach, he's really not going to take you to the top of the mountaintop, but he's going to take you around, you know, around the snow cap somewhere, get you in the playoffs, and set you up for the next coach to come along and get all the glory. That's the kind of career he's had so far in the NBA. Jimmy, Doug Collins, 60 years old.
I think he's definitely an above-average coach, close to a great coach. He was a great player, but, yo, he also was a great commentator. I used to like him on TV. You know, he's one of the guys that I enjoyed listening to on the television broadcast. So he was, you know, he's good at what he does. And Akil brought up a good point, which is how he's one of those guys that can come to the hood and get a run. It's funny, I was talking about this today, how, you know, it's like basketball is like a universal language. Like, no matter where you go in the world, if you can hoop, you cool. You know, back in the day when white guys came to the hood, once you knew they can ball, it was like, oh, he a cool white boy. He's one of them dudes.
Yeah.
He could be the biggest in the world, but if he was hooping right.
Exactly. Yo, once you can hoop right, it don't matter what you look like, what you sound like. Yo, you can hoop, you can hoop.
Jimmy. Yeah, I was going to add, I forgot about his commentating. Like, yo, him and Hubie Brown are my two favorite basketball commentators. Like, Doug Collins just breaks it down like the breakdown.
Yeah, so he'd be nice too.
Three different levels. There's the coaching level, the player level, and the commentation. Doug Collins, happy birthday. The next birthday for the day is one Mr. William Warren Bradley, better known as Bill Bradley. He turns 68 today.
Yay!
Jimmy, Bill Bradley.
Yo, Bill Bradley is one of the most overrated players in the history of modern sports. He's one of them jokers that these Knicks fans who claim to have this great history. He's one of the great Knicks. He's Jerry retired as a Knick and all this. The boy averaged 12 points and 3 boards. What's so great about that? Come on, son.
He wasn't better than
Clarence Weatherspoon.
You know why? They prop him up because he's a so-called good guy. You know, he was a Rhodes Scholar. You know, he was in the U.S. Senate. Was it Senate or Congress? He was a senator. Yeah, so,
yeah.
You know, Bill Bradley gets extra points, especially from Knicks fans, for doing something outside of basketball since, like you said, their history is kind of weak, even though they act like it's so strong. When the last time the Knicks won a championship? Come on, Knicks.
Yeah, you never lied. Now, according to Knicks fans, you would think that they had the Celtics or Lakers history the way they talk. Knicks fans are frauds, and if you're listening, you're a Knicks fan, you're a fraud.
Bayon, Bill Bradley.
Yeah, when I think of Bill Bradley, I think about when the Knicks made that big trade this year and brought in Melo, and then they signed Amari, and then it was like the Knicks are back. I guess that's what they're talking about from, like, 1973. So that's what I think of.
Finally back. All right, next birthday is one Mr. Alexander Emmanuel Rodriguez, better known in war room circles as A-Roy, better known to some of y'all as A-Rod. He turns 36.
My birthday!
Kill.
Yay.
Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. It's sad because after Bonds, broke Aaron's record with performance-enhancing drugs, everybody was like, wow, A-Rod, he's the only one whose name hasn't been caught up in performance-enhancing drugs, so hopefully he'll break Bonds' record and he'll be a clean guy. And then it comes out, he took steroids, too. So, great player, 5-tool player, but, you know, it is what it is.
So, you're saying basically he was their hope until he was found out, and now their hope all rests on Albert Pujols. Yo,
exactly.
Albert Pujols is painted as such a good guy. If they find out he's on steroids, I think baseball will end. Jimmy, A-Rod.
Yo, when I think of A-Rod, I think of somebody choking. I think of steroids, a lot of different bad things, but I also think of a 5-tool player who's one of the greatest players I've ever seen play. But he was also a huge choke in the playoffs, like huge choke. And luckily he got on the Yankees, so he won him a championship, because I don't think if he didn't become a Yankee, I don't know if he would have ever won. But that being said, it's kind of hard to think about him now and not think of the roids. So he kind of tarnished his own image, you know, so that's on him.
Hey, his fault. All right, so our next birthday is a hometown guy, you know. Actually, we played against him in high school. He was a little younger than us. Shout out to Strawberry Mansion High School in Philly. One Mr. Ronald Flip Murray turns 32 today.
My birthday! Yay!
Fayon, what you got on Ronald Flip Murray?
Yo, man, the first time I saw Flip, I was a senior. He was like a sophomore or freshman in high school summertime, and my team was blowing his team out at the Y in Germantown in Shelton, and he wound up catching a dunk at the end of the game, like the last 2 minutes of the game. He just came down the lane and banged on everybody, and it was our second team nonetheless. But we were like, yo, who's this young dude? So then I start hearing stories about Flip 2-3 years later while we're all in college, and yo, they're like, yo, Flip has bounce, he's dunking on people, he has handles. Then he always had the grade thing where, you know, he had these scholarship offers, and then grades was messed up. And the last time I saw and spoke to him, because he's real cool with my cousins, Raheem and Omar, he had a scholarship in New Orleans. But what happened was his grades weren't right, so he lost that scholarship. So then what happened was he got signed on to Shaw after doing 2 years of JUCO, and then he went to Shaw, tore it up, and, you know, he's one of the most feared players in the NBA from a scouting report perspective in terms of when his name comes up, guys are paying attention because, yo, they're like, Flip can embarrass you in an instant. But I always thought he should have got his chance to be a starting two or one in the NBA.
Well, he kind of held it down as a starting two in Seattle when Ray Allen got hurt, averaged like 25 a game. Weeks. This was that. But that's all I got because Kill basically gave his whole bio. Jimmy, you got something on
bro. The only thing I remember is also we played against him. We were seniors. I believe he said like a freshman or a sophomore.
He was a sophomore. He didn't get in the game.
Yeah. So, and like, he didn't get in the game. And then I remember after I graduated, looking back at the box scores, and I'm like, yo, dude is a manimal. I'm like, where that? I said, I don't remember this boy. Like, this is a whole different breed of player. And, you know, he's been a productive pro for the most part. Like, you know, he got games.
I don't know if you remember because my cousin Mike kept hyping him up, talking about how good
I remember Mike.
Yeah, we clowned him like, your man ain't even getting the game. Then we go to school. He averaging 32 points, leading the league in scoring.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We went away to college and do start, like, housing everything. So shout out to him.
But all I remember is, yo, why does he have an autistic look on his face at all times?
Yo, you crazy, cuz.
He is the most emotionless dude. Yo, he could hit a game winner, everybody going crazy. He got the straight face. He could get punched in the face, straight face. He just a straight face dude.
For the people out there who don't know, yeah, we got the inside information since we know his teammates. He got his nickname because back in high school they used to make fun of him because they said he looked like Bernie Mac's character in Above the Rim. So that's why his name is Flip. So just a little inside information. But I got one last birthday shout-out. It's a special birthday. If y'all didn't know, this is Devin, by the way. My wife just gave birth to our first baby boy on Tuesday. His name is Chase Alexander McMillan. And it was one of the greatest moments of my life. My man, B. Austin, Kill, you know, they got kids, so they know. They warned me. They told me, you know, how it would feel once you had one of your own. And everything they told me was the truth. So I want to give a shout-out to my young buck who was born on Tuesday. And
shout-out to Chase.
Shout-out to him.
That's
addition to the War Room family. Let me tell you, cats, what happened while you were on the grind. And if you don't know why you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. You can take a listen or look at everything they're doing at phillyautodesign.com and get your rim game right. Fellas, I want to talk about a couple different stories. First thing I want to talk about is your opinion of Ben Roethlisberger, a.k.a. Don't Say Nothing, Just Give It Here. He got married. Now, if you don't know, they said not only did he get married, but they said he spent between $223,000 and $473,000 for his wedding.
That's
a big debt. Yeah. So he kind of contributed to the city of Pittsburgh.
You know why he spent that kind of money on his wedding? He trying to show people that, you know, I'm so in love, I ain't going to be out there in the 18-year-old in the hunting club anymore, taking the booty.
That was my first question. I was going to say, how old is his wife, for one?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. We were watching something this morning where this dude was on the sex offender list for having sex with a minor, but he ended up marrying her after she was legal. So the question was, should he still be on the sex offender list since he married the girl that he offended?
That's a good question, which I don't have the answer to right now. I got to think about that. Of course you should. Yo, check this out. What if you apply for a job and they're like, yo, you're registered as a sex offender? Oh, that's nothing. You know, we wound up getting married, so that's it.
Anyway,
that's one story I want to talk about your boy Big Ben, a.k.a. Don't Say Nothing, Just Give It Here. Finally tied the knot, so maybe he can be out of there. But for the people listening, just in case, watch your daughters. Anyway, I want to talk about Roberto Alomar. You guys hear about the Roberto Alomar story where, you know, he took a fan shirt? Let me explain to you a little bit more about the story. During Sunday's Hall of Fame parade in Cooperstown, Alomar was riding by and saw a fan with a new Toronto Blue Jays jersey. So he asked the fan for the jersey, and the fan was under the impression that he was going to, like, you know, give him an autograph on the jersey. But he pulled off and took the jersey with him. So what the fan did, the fan went to the web, hit up the social networks, YouTube, and eventually the word got back to Alomar that the boy was looking for his jersey. So Alomar said he's going to give him his jersey back and also some additional items. So what's you guys' opinion of this story?
I didn't hear the last part of that. I just knew that he took it. And the dude was kind of salty because he was like, he took it. I thought he was going, like, autograph it and give it back to me. He just rolled off with it. So I didn't hear the last part that you just said.
Yeah,
so,
that just came out today. That just came out today that he finally caught up to him. It's crazy how social networks and you know, YouTube and what happens.
Yeah.
Where he actually caught up with the ball, like, yo, where's my shirt at, yo?
Yeah, you can get in touch with your favorite athletes these days.
Yeah, no doubt. Yo, so what you going to say about that?
Why'd he
take it?
Why'd he take it?
You like
it? I guess he wanted it, John. I guess if the dude never caught up with him, he'd have had him a nice – it was a brand-new jersey.
Yeah.
You know how athletes feel entitled. They feel entitled. He want to take his jersey, man. Anyway, number square
one. Brand-new jersey money.
Good. Now, sure about your man, Jalen Rose. You know, he received 20 days in jail for drunk driving, and then a couple hours later, he got ticketed for driving 20 miles over the speed limit. That's according to the Detroit TV station. So he just came back from receiving a 20-day sentence for drunk driving and gets caught that same night, you know, speeding. So what you mean?
Well, they said his sentence was originally 92 days. All right.
Yo, all athletes that are listening, I'm opening up the War Room car service. We're going to have beautiful women drive y'all around. So y'all don't got to catch no DWs, no DUs, no speeding tickets, no beating up cops and resisting them. Yo, we'll drive you around. You got
hold
the money.
Wait, Austin, hold up. Now, you're going to have beautiful women driving around. You think they're not going to get in trouble that way? Ben Roethlisberger get a ride? What do you think going to happen then?
We're going to make sure they're too old for Ben. Ben like them young. We're going to keep them late 20s.
You have old, ugly, foreign dudes driving them around.
No.
Yo,
go ahead.
That's y'all, man. Though, anyway, what you got to say about your man?
They said the sentence was like 92 days, but you know they always get off early. I mean, easy. So the judge reduced it to 20 days. I mean, imagine if I got caught on the same charge. You know, I'm doing way more than 20 days in jail. But whatever. You know, Jalen is my man. So. Glad he's not, you know, got spent too many.
One more question, real quick though. This is a right. It's kind of a football question. You guys heard about this punter for the Vikings, Chris Warcraft? He's making a lot of news lately because you know he'd be on Twitter talking all gangster or whatever. He says that he's number five, right? And you know that the Vikings just got Donovan.
Yeah.
He says that if McNabb wants his number, he has to say his favorite band's name at a press conference five times for him to get the number. So he's trying to like use a barter system in a sense. Like, yo, you got to do me a favor. Before I give you this jersey number.
So is this band like this dude's brother's band or something?
I don't know. I don't think he's not in the band, but dude is like, yo, dude is tripping. But here's the funny thing.
Or if he's invested in this band in any kind of way, I think it's a real smart move.
Yo,
but if it's like Nirvana.
Here's the thing I want to ask you guys about, though. Here's the thing I want to ask you guys about. I've been, like, reading all across the web and Twitter. People have been killing this dude, not for the fact that he's trying this or the fact that he called out, you know, Peyton Manning and them, but the fact that he's doing all this as a punter. How do you guys feel about punters and kickers? Do you feel like most people do that they shouldn't have a voice at all?
Yo, I think kickers shouldn't be allowed to speak, shouldn't be allowed to eat, shouldn't be allowed to do nothing. They shouldn't even get paid. They should volunteer for the opportunity and the experience.
To call themselves
all that being, they're not a football player. They're a kicker.
See, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, the only kicker that was ever a football player was the late great David Akers. May he rest in peace, as he's not a Eagle.
What about the Cowboys? What about the Cowboys kicker? Like, yo, he's beating dudes in 40-yard dashes. He's killing dudes in the weight room. He's making tackles. You know what I mean? He's just not accurate.
Nah.
Yo, let me ask you a question,
he's a
though.
Cowboy.
Lady Fatima in the chat room says, stop it. They're part of the team. But let me ask you a question, though. If that's the case, I say we just get rid of kickers, period. You know, you can't punt. You got to go for it every fourth down, and there's no extra point. You got to run a play.
And no field goals.
I'm with
no
that.
Field goal.
Let's
you
just get rid of them all together.
That's how it is in the hood.
That's how it is. There's some of y'all cats out there that try to play Madden. Y'all don't want to punt the rock acting like idiots. Anyway, that's
yeah,
all
Kill's
I
right,
got,
though.
Though
when
crime.
we played football on the street back in the day, you know, we didn't stop and kick a field goal. That's corny.
Yeah, that's suspect, yo. Anyway, man, that's what happened when you went to grind. Dev, take it over. Good
yo, man. Sebastian Janikowski is 290 pounds, and all he does is kick. Come on, man.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Well, it's time to pass that rock. If this is your first time listening to the War Room, Pass the Rock is a segment we do where all five of your hosts get to vent on any sports topic of the week. I'm going to start it off this week, and I'm going to start it off by... I haven't followed sports all week. I don't know what's going on. I'm leaning on my brother tonight. I've been busy with my new youngster and my family, so I'm going to just go ahead and pass that rock to my man Akil Bayon crossing half court.
All right. Thank you, sir. And shout out to Chase Alexander McMillan as well. Congratulations, good brother. Now, good evening, War Room family. I wanted to take the time to talk about the possible mass exodus of NBA players getting their passports current, resolving any warrants or court dates, and deciding to go play overseas as the NBA lockout continues. I have no problem with a grown man or woman making the decision to take their talents to another place or another country to do something they love to do. I do have a problem with high salary contracted NBA players who will be taking away overseas jobs from basketball journeymen. Some of these guys bounce around from country to country year after year and are sometimes in the NBA and sometimes out of the NBA, depending on what a coach or general manager thinks, and they are just playing the game they love anywhere where there is a basketball job to provide for themselves and their families. For more on those players, you can listen back to episode 47 of the War Room titled Overseas Ballers, where we have four overseas basketball players on the show. Now, back to my PTR. Many of you may not know this, but every overseas basketball team can have only a certain number of American or non-nationals of that particular country on their team. For instance, a league in Spain may allow you to have five players who are not from Spain, so that could mean a team could have three Americans, a German, and an Argentine to fill out their roster. I remember years ago when some teams only allowed you to carry two Americans. Some Americans have actually obtained citizenship in a country where they would not be counted as a non-national for that team. And then those same guys played for that country's national team. Shout out to Rasheem Feats-Wright from the Germantown section of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who grew up with my cousin Omar and put up numbers at UDC and then went on to play professionally in Jordan. He proceeded to obtain Jordanian citizenship and represented them in the FIBA World Championship last year. Now, let's just say 20 NBA players decide to go overseas and the lockout does not end until February 2012. That's 20 jobs that will be gone for guys who have made a living playing overseas or who are not good enough to be drafted by an NBA team this year. But as soon as the lockout ends, those NBA guys will bounce and then lose 20 jobs, and then those 20 jobs will open back up. But now the guys that get hired will only make a fraction of what they normally would have made playing a full season overseas. So my advice to the NBA players who want to go overseas, think about your fellow hooper slash baller and how he has to provide for his family while you will be collecting your current NBA salary when the lockout ends, as well as some nice checks from the overseas team you will be playing for. And with that, I'm finished, and I will throw a pass fake to Jimmy, but then I'm going to pass it to B. Austin, the hot block commander.
Yo, great point, Brother Kill, but have no fear. To be honest, if you look at the situation of the European economy, I really don't think many teams are going to be able to afford the services of NBA megastars, superstars, stars, or just starters in general. Not many teams have the salary the salary budget to pay for those cats. So I think it's just something that lasts for a few months and then it'll be gone. We won't hear about it again. With that, what I wanted to do with today's PTR is reach out to my man Abraham Rubelstein and allow him to talk about David Stern, the NBA at large, and some discrepancies that were found in the accounting. Abraham, take it away.
David Stern, we caught you. We caught you. That extra 5% in increased revenue and profit. I see you. You're making money and you're lying to us about it. Yes, you're making money. We see you. Now, the NBA, when the audit happened and the Players Association saw the numbers, there was an extra 5% in there. We see you.
So that's Abraham Rubelstein, y'all. And essentially what he's sharing with us is the audit happened, and as it turns out, the NBA didn't lose what it claimed it lost. It only lost about $15 million less, which, as we all know as intelligent human beings and business people, if you have cooked books and you still come up in a lie, that means that what the real lie is probably something crazy. They're not losing $300 million a season. Uh-uh. With that, I pass the rock to my man, Blueprint. Talk to these people, yo.
Yo, that's crazy, man, because who knows what the real numbers are. But I do believe, honestly, that the NBA lockout will be a lot worse than the NFL lockout. It's sort of like Dennis said, all the hoopla about the NFL lockout, and we only missed in the Hall of Fame game, which no one watches anyway. But I think the NBA is not going, it's not going to be the same. You better believe that, because your man Lyon, he got double book. He got two different sets of books and everything. He needed to send, like, Elliot Ness after him to get the real book. Anyway, what's up, War Room? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Jim Tebow. And this week, I want to say a few words about a couple topics. First, I want to say congratulations to Kevin Cobb for the new deal and a new opportunity in Arizona. For those who don't know, I spent a lot of time on Twitter. You can follow me personally at JW The Blueprint and follow the show at War Room Sports, of course. At any rate, while on Twitter, I saw several people talking pork chop greasy about Kevin Cobb, calling him a bum, saying he got overpaid, he will never be a great quarterback. And my question to all of you people is, how the hell do you know? And you are basing this on what? And for those who are complaining about his contract, let me ask you a question. If your boss came to your office, your cubicle, your cash register, your sandwich line, and said they wanted to give you several million dollars guaranteed, would you say no? You dusty Gordon Gartrell wearing red meat and pork eating jokers know damn well you take that cream. Now listen, with all that being said, I'm not saying that Kevin Cobb will be great or even good for that matter. But let's give him a chance before we start dissing him. If he does turn out to be a bum, guess what? I'll talk about him worse than you will. But until then, let's see. Secondly, I want to say a few words about the Eagles wide receiver DeSean Jackson. He is currently holding out of camp because he wants a new contract. DeSean currently makes around a half mil. Now, to the average cat, that's some nice paper. But considering what he does for the team, he is severely underpaid. DeSean Jackson's current contract is just plain old garbation. And before you say he's too small to be a legitimate receiver in the league, just consider what Santana Moss has been able to do at his size. Pause. And after he pays his agent, his lawyer, his taxes, his main chick, and all his side work, he'll make less money than some of my favorite sandwich artists. And that's just not fair. So, Andy Reid, do me a favor. Pay that man. And last but not least, since football has started, I just want to ask Brett Favre, a.k.a. Old Purple Hands, to do me a favor. Go that away. Nice.
And with that, that crowd goes wild. If I can find the crowd. Jimmy! Jimmy!
listen, let me take this one real quick, because actually I'm about to bounce in a minute. So everybody, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter, right from our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. While you're still on the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy cool War Room Sports merchandise and click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page and to follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to and friend our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For access to all of our media content in one place, anywhere, anytime, download the War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple device. If you got an old Berry, trade it in, get an Android or iPhone, and get that War Room app. You know who I'm talking to. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from the Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak to us, dial that Digital Stream Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and who knows? One of us might just call on you. So, fellas, with that, I just got that text. My little man is being discharged from the hospital, so I'm going to go grab him up. I'll be listening to y'all in the car. Have a great 50th episode of the War Room. And a shout-out to all the fans for all the support that we've been getting. We love y'all. So I'll holler at y'all, fellas.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother.
All right.
Don't forget to pick your wife up, too, with your little man.
That was a given. Stop trying to play me. She's listening. All right.
Yeah. In the chat room real quick, I just want to bring it up that Ezra Ice Cream, shout-out to him. We're talking about how Kevin Cobb, at this point, got traded for so much more than Donovan McDroit in the dirt did previously. And it is kind of hilarious to me. And he was saying how the age had a lot to do with that. And I agree the age is, but McNabb being ass also had a lot to do with that too. But in terms of how Cobb will do, we shall see. But let's talk about a couple more topics before we jump deep into football. Did you guys hear about the Tar Heels firing Butch Davis amid the NCAA probe?
What my man Butch do, yo? What Butch do?
Well, right now, Butch ain't doing nothing. Butch need a gig right now. You got a job for him. He's going to be a sandwich artist as well. But, yeah, what's up? Your man Butch Davis, once again, without work. Kill, did you hear anything about the story?
I heard that there was just so much stuff going on, academic improprieties and players getting money from agents and so much that the AD was like, you know what? There's too much smoke around here, so Butch, you just need to go, basically.
Yeah. Yo, here's the thing, though, right? It seems like on a weekly basis, there's always a new story in reference to a college program. And, college football is crazy. I'm waiting for the next college basketball scandal. We don't hear about them the way you do with the football ones. And by the way, in our chat, they say Butch Davis is the last great Browns coach. But now he's without a job. Real quick, the MLB trade deadline is Sunday. You guys think any major moves will be made?
It seems like a lot of them have, Beltran trade. But other than that,
yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well,
I guess that was a good thing.
In terms of Carlos Beltran, do you think that'll, line them up for another run, or what do you think? I mean, because, personally, I'm a Phillies fan, so I actually want to play the Giants in the playoffs just to, avenge that previous loss. But what do you think in terms of the Giants? Are they setting up to make another run?
I don't know. It's so hard to repeat or even get back to the World Series or win the World Series in baseball. The Phillies did a good job of getting, far, being in the Final Four. 3 years in a row. But I doubt it. I doubt it. I mean, the Giants, they might lose in the first round. You know what I'm saying? Because baseball is so unpredictable.
Let me ask you a question.
Speaking of those Phillies. Oh, go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to ask a question in terms of that. When you look at the major sports, right, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, whatever you want to be, what do you think is the most difficult sport to repeat in terms of championship?
That's a loaded question.
Man, I think football.
All things being equal, would you take you said football is the most difficult?
Yeah. Yeah, I think football is.
Yeah, okay. What do you think,
Austin? I would say football because you have so many moving parts. You've got 22 starters and a 53-man roster, and at least 30 of those players have to be on their P's and Q's, stay healthy, play at a high level, and fend off improving competition. Next to that, I think basketball.
Okay. To me, I was thinking football also, just because the likelihood of injury is a lot higher in football. And also, right, when you get into the playoffs, it's one game, as opposed to playing like a series. Now, in basketball, if you have a dominant team, and over a seven-game series, a lot of times the best team wins for the most part. But in football, being as though it's one game, you know, man, that's crazy. Any given Sunday is what they say, right?
Exactly.
And the same thing in baseball as well. In baseball, you know, if you have dominant pitching and you get into a series, the same thing. Yeah, but
I was going to touch on the Phillies. They're looking at Hunter Pence, they're looking at Carlos Quentin, and they're looking at Mike Adams. I mean, those are their top priorities.
Listen, personally, I think that, like I was telling you guys a couple shows ago, I think that the general managers in baseball are, like, you know, some of the most important people in terms of having a winning organization, more so than many other sports. You know, football and baseball, more so than basketball. But with that being said, I believe in Ruben Amaro, so let's see what shall happen. Did you guys hear about Ervin Santana throwing a no-hitter against the Indians?
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm just glad an umpire didn't mess it up.
Yo, how about that? What do you guys think should happen? I mean, because you don't want to bring, like, instant replay into baseball where the game's already too damn long. So what do you do with that? Because, I mean,
slow.
So, like, what do you do in terms of all these mistakes being made? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do? What can you really do at this point?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to bring an instant replay because there's so many mistakes that are taking place. You know, no hitters are being taken away. Guys are out and they should be safe. Guys are safe and they should be out. Only thing they shouldn't really use instant replay for is obviously the strike zone. I mean, let the error and human error, you know, take care of that. But anything that has to do with, you know, safe or out or lines, you know, whether it's foul or fair, like, yo, take it up to the booth.
What you think, Austin?
Do you realize how long a baseball game will now become? Do you realize, like, you're now talking about a four-hour game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's long anyways.
Yeah, that's true. I got a couple more.
I can't sit down with a guaranteed 4 hours. Like, a baseball game isn't guaranteed to be 4 hours, but once you have instant replay, it's almost guaranteed it will be 4, 5, 6. People are not sitting around for that. Sponsors aren't even going to pay to be
That's true. Let me ask you guys a couple more questions before I get into before we really start getting into our football conversation. The NBA plans to start labor talks on Monday. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they've wasted time by not talking now. So I think because of that, they'll probably definitely lose games and training camps going to get pushed back. It's like the NBA, it's almost like the owners and I guess the players, they both seem more, I wouldn't say stuck up, but like, all right, whatever, man, I'm not talking to you. I'm not, you know, at least the NFL guys were willing, even though they didn't agree, they're willing to, like, work it out and hash it out. And the NBA players and owners is kind of like turning their backs on each other, like, whatever, screw you. You know what I mean?
No, that's a great point, Kill. There are two things that makes me believe that the NBA lockout is not only for real, but we're in for the long haul. Number one, if you compare and contrast football and basketball, in football, they were making money. The owners were making money. They're just not making as much money as they're used to. Number two, the second part to that is in basketball, you know, if you believe my man Abraham Rubenstein, as he was sharing with us, that 5% discrepancy represents $15 million. So even if you triple, quadruple, quintuple that, you're still looking at a number that's north of $200 million in annual losses, so that the owners are angry. I'm losing $200 million, and then I've got players who have guaranteed salaries bitching and moaning. So they're light years apart. And then the Players Association in the NFL, they don't have the strength that the NBA Players Union has. And so I think that we saw there was much to do about nothing. You know, I think a few weeks into the NFL labor dispute, I kind of knew that it was going to be resolved. This, I have no clue. I have no clue as to which way it'll go. And David
Stern, do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible to miss the entire season?
I think it's possible. Is it probable? I think I'm 50. I'm about 60-40 against it happening, but I think that 40% is a solid probability.
I mean,
I was going to say, I think they started in February last time, missed the All-Star game, 50-game season. I don't know. I mean, the owners want to cut salaries by a third. And the players, they don't want that, and the owners keep saying they're not making money. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think somebody needs to talk to these owners and general managers. They signed a lot of bad contracts. Like, there are so many bad contracts that I talked about in PCR like three, 4 weeks ago, that if owners would just say, well, nah, you know what, Brian Cardinal is not worth, you know, 5 years, $35 million. And you know what, Rashard Lewis is not a max player. You know what? Joe Johnson is not a max player. If owners and GMs would just make better contractual.
You know what? Michael Redd is not a max player. Samuel Dallenberg cannot ever make $60 million. You're right.
Absolutely right. But they go to talk Monday, so we'll see how that whole thing shakes out. I think it's going to be a long one. But
I'm scared. Pause.
NFL gets the deal done, and football is back. Getting ready to talk some football. So, with that being said, what do you guys think about the whole process? You just mentioned a little bit, like looking back on this whole lockout, this whole thing. Was it like much to do about nothing? Considering we're only going to miss, you know, Hall of Fame game. Or what's your thoughts on this whole process?
Well, yeah, as I shared, I think that a few weeks into it, I realized that both sides are going to come together because the NFL players have too much to lose by missing, you know, games, and the NFL owners have too much to lose at a price of $400 million a week. So I kind of knew that this deal was going to get done because the NFL is not in as dire straits as the. You know, that was kind of my take on this, and I think some good things have come out of this agreement. Rookie salary.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, one point of the agreement that reverberated through all the discussion and deliberations is that the players were not only looking, you know, towards their own interests, but the interests of players coming behind them and then players coming after them. So, you know, it's a comprehensive deal that, you know, I guess puts football in a better place, at least for the next 10 years. So that's the part that I think stood out the most. And they talked about how guys like, you know, Jeff Saturday stood up and, you know, just really was willing to go toe-to-toe with the owners. It was interesting to see Jerry Richardson, the owner of the Panthers. He was basically disrespecting the players you know, a few months ago, and how he even got on board and had him speaking. He's talking about how professional the NFL players were. So, I mean, I think, and like Robert Kraft said, like, you know, I guess our government, the Democrats and the Republicans, can kind of learn from this agreement.
Yeah, how about that? How about that? Now, with that being said, let's open the phone lines up for those listening, 323-410-0012, because we're getting ready to get into a debate, and I know you guys are going to have an opinion on this, and I'm anxious to hear about this. We want to debate two football players in our versus segment. And basically what our versus segment is, we take two players in any given sport, and we, you know, kind of compare their careers, and also right now, who would you rather have? So with that being said, again, the number is 323-410-0012. I'm going to throw two players out there to you gentlemen, and, you know, make your case for who do you think is the better player. The two players are both wide receivers in the NFL, and that's Randy Moss and Terrell Owens. Who do you think has a better career, and who would you take right now? I'll start with you, Dr. Bay.
That's a tough question. Career and now, man, because they both bring so many positives to the table, and then they both have negative qualities that they bring to the table. You know what? I'm gonna have to take T.O. then and now. I just have to make sure I have a strong-minded quarterback like Steve Young. Because, you know, T.O., no matter what, you know you're going to get 120% in the offseason and on the field no matter what. And he's not scared to go across the middle. He'll run every route. His only problem is when, you know, he gets to the media and he starts, you know, talking about his quarterbacks or talking about his teams and saying stuff. Now, as talented as Randy Moss is, in my opinion, Randy Moss should be better than T.O., but Randy Moss, I mean, he said it himself, he plays when he wants to. Randy Moss can be schemed out of a game. Most of his routes are fly routes or deep post routes. He doesn't like to run slants. He doesn't like to come across the middle. What was telling is when the Eagles beat the Vikings in the it was a playoff game. I don't know if it was the NFC Championship or the round before that. But the Eagles just, they smacked him a couple times, and, yo, Randy Moss was done. He didn't come across the middle at all. He couldn't get the rock from Culpepper. So, I mean, that's where Randy Moss, you know, is weak as a receiver. Like, he doesn't run every route. Everything is deep, over the top, and all you do is, you know, put a safety over the top and then take him out, and he's not going to diversify.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, because it sounds to me like you're saying that T.O. is the better all-around player. But
yeah.
Randy is so dominant. And, well, has been dominant in what he does, you know, does it, like, make up for the fact that he doesn't run every route because he's, like, the best at what he does?
Well, no, because you don't know if you're going to get the Oakland Randy Moss or if you're going to get the Titans Randy Moss or you're going to get the last, the Vikings the second time around. I mean, as a receiver in terms of hands and what he can do, like, I mean, he catches way better than T.O. I mean, Randy Moss is, like, crazy, but he hasn't completed his package, which is why I'd have to take T.O. You know, for every pass that T.O. may drop, you know, he's still going to, you know, block, work hard, and, you know, try to, you know, make the next play better.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. I don't know, but I kind of think I know where you're going with yours. But go ahead, let me hear it.
Oh, man. Yo, let me start off by saying that, you know, I love both of these players as players, man. I really do. And it's difficult. This was great, man, because this if you thought of this segment, man, you did a great job, Brother Williams, because, man, it's hard. Let me start with Randy, because one of the things that you just alluded to, and I don't think that Akil gives enough credibility to, is the fact that Randy, though he only runs certain routes, Randy strikes such fear in defenses and makes you account for him with multiple players that he takes three players out of the defense off the field.
three players have to always account for him, period. And you got to roll your coverages that way. And I'm not saying you don't do that for T.O. as well, but let's not discount the fact that when he goes 20 yards up the field, 30 yards, 40 yards, he's taking three players with him. So what does that do for your running game? What are you facing in the box? What does that do for your underneath patterns? Look at what Wes Welker was able to accomplish. Wes Welker owes Randy Moss 80% of his game checks. I mean,
yo, you brought up a great point that I didn't even bring that point up.
You were getting to it because he's so great at what he does. It doesn't matter whether he's covered. And they draw the comparison between him and Megatron and Calvin Johnson's cup. Listen, Calvin Johnson ain't no Randy Moss, man. I've seen that dude blanketed by four players being interfered with. And he just catches it anyway easy. It ain't no problem. And for those of you who think he's falling off, all I have to do is go back to the game film yesterday, ask yourself who the best corner in the league is, and undoubtedly you're going to say Darrell Revis, and answer me this. What did Randy Moss do over the hill to Darrell Revis? All right, so that's my case. I don't want to discount Randy Moss. With all that said, I'm going T.O.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Before you give your case for T.O., let me ask Akil, putting that into the equation, what he does in terms of how he opens the field up for the rest of his team, would that change your mind at all?
Nah, it doesn't.
He's taking three defenders with him.
Well, not what I'm saying. Like in Minnesota, like I don't know what happened or didn't happen in Minnesota. Like my thing is, let's say you have him for a career, right? If you have a bad year, he does nothing. But if you're winning 10, 12, 13, 15 games a year, oh, he's awesome. But let you go 8-8, and yo, he's not running hard for 8-8.
No, that's a great point. That is great because T.O. was balling for Cincinnati, and they wasn't winning.
And Buffalo. Once they changed the quarterback to Buffalo, T.O. was balling.
But you also, with that being said, to play devil's advocate, some of his numbers were inflated because they were losing. They were throwing the ball 78 times a game because they were losing.
Yeah, but Jimmy,
so some of his numbers were inflated.
He still got to catch the ball.
I mean, he does still have to catch the ball, even though he's known to drop the ball. In my opinion, I think in terms of pure talent, I think Randy Moss might be the most talented receiver to ever enter the league.
But in terms of work ethic,
if Randy Moss had the work ethic of, say, a Jerry Rice, he'd be the best receiver in the history of the league, hands down.
Forget Jerry Rice. If he had the work ethic of the other player we're talking about.
Yeah.
If he had T.O.'s work ethic.
Yeah, but when you talk about everything that Randy does, what about all the off-the-field distractions of T.O., you know, with him talking greasy about his quarterbacks and crying to his coaches, wanting to rock? I mean, he's got his own issues. You know what I mean? Even though he ain't saying he plays the straight cash.
This was great, man. This was hard.
It's not as clear cut as I'll take T.O. because, you know, Ranch doesn't play. Because let's put it this way. What if you could get both guys at the top of their game? Who would you take?
Oh, I take T.O. because when he was in San Fran, T.O. was taking slant routes to the house and three people with him.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing. Just like you, I could make that argument for Randy, where you got to understand what he brings. You also have to dig deep and understand what T.O. brings. T.O. lines up at every receiver position, including tight ends, and it's a mismatch no matter what. He can run him across the formation 7 yards deep, stand him in front of a linebacker, let him get blown up, and he's going to get up, laugh, and line up and do it again the next play. And you don't get that from Randy.
Yeah. Y'all discount my homie. Y'all discount my homie, man. Honestly, when it comes to this question, it depends upon what day you ask me. And that's just being honest. Like, so right now today, I'm going to say Randy Moss just because both of y'all taking T.O.
Don't do that. You gotta give us your true feeling, man.
My true feeling. If I had them both at the top of their game, I still may take Randy Moss. It's very close, but the reason I would take Randy Moss is just because of what he does to the defense. I mean, he opens it up. Guys like Wes Welker, you look at the numbers that, like, Jake Reed and Chris Carter put up playing with Randy Moss.
Carter was dominating before Moss, though. Chris Carter was getting 100 touches.
Chris Carter is overrated. That's neither here nor there. That's why he's not getting in the Hall now. He's overrated. He's a cokehead. With that being said,
whoa.
What? What'd I say wrong?
Chris Carter is definitely not overrated, brother. Definitely not.
Why? Where is he? Where do you rate him at? And I'll tell you whether you have him overrated or not. He's not better than either one of the gentlemen we're talking about right now.
No, he's not. I have him in my top 10 though.
Yeah.
Receiver of all time.
Chris Carter put up back to back 122 catch seasons with 1,400 yards receiving, like before Randy Moss got there. Then he had 96, and then when Randy Moss got there, you know, his production went down, but he was still getting a G in like 80-90 catches.
Okay, and all that translate. He had those two seasons in Minnesota. I know for a fact that when he was with the Eagles, all he did was catch touchdowns, which is like a running joke. And when he first got to Minnesota, he didn't put up those type of numbers. He's overrated in the grand scheme of things. I'm not calling him bad, but in the grand scheme of the receivers, I think that he's overrated because I hear people saying he's the second best receiver of all time next to Rice.
No, he's not. Come on. Let me ask you this about Randy, Jimmy, because understand this, audience and co-host. My mind is changing back and forth between who I would take as we're going through this conversation. But there are certain situations where Randy cannot get the ball, and it's not because of talent. It's because he's not willing to put himself in those situations. And that limit. So we're in the red zone now. We got 20 yards to go. We got 10 yards to go. There's not enough room to throw the fade. So we say, Randy, let's open it up and give you a slant route. What's going to happen, Jimmy?
Well, what's going to happen is he's going to fake like he's running a fade. Three people will follow him, and the other guy will come across the middle and catch the touchdown.
We need you to catch the ball, Randy.
It's not about just him catching the ball. His impact on the game is a lot bigger than his catch.
We already know that. That's the first thing I brought up. That's the very thing. We need you to catch the ball now. We need you to be the deciding factor. You're not running off. DBs for anybody else underneath.
The point you're trying to make is that he doesn't run the slant. We've already established that.
Not the slant. He doesn't run the slant. He doesn't run the cross. He doesn't run the seams. It's way more than just the slant.
But like I said before, with all that being said, he's so dominant at what he does. It's so like we're talking basketball. You may have a guy. You take a guy like what's Akil's guy that he always talks about as an all-around game, play for Phoenix.
Boris Diaw
had an all-around basketball game. He can rebound, pass the ball, score a little bit.
I'll smack the behavior out of you because Randy Moss is a better basketball player than Boris Diaw.
Let me finish. My point is, because you're better all around, if one guy is so dominant at what he does, let's take a guy that can't do anything but score in the NBA. Do you have another guy who's an all-around player but not
Vince,
as great as
Vince
scorer?
Carter. Okay.
All right, Vince Carter. Like, so at the end of the day, would you take him, Boris Diaw, or Vince Carter? You hate Vince Carter, so that's a bad analogy. But with that being said, my point is, you have a guy that has an all-around game, but then you have another guy that's so dominant that only had one thing, he's the best at it. Which one do you take? Do you take the guy that has the all-around game or the guy?
I got an answer for you that may even change your opinion. You have never, and think about this long and hard, pause, you have never seen T.O. taken out of a game by a defense, but you have seen Randy taken out.
I've seen T.O. take out a game by defense because he wasn't catching the ball, so he starts pouting and crying and, you know, crying to his coach. But let me bring up another quick point real quick in reference to this conversation. In our chat room again, Ezra brings up a point. He said it's funny because either one of these players won blank. With that being said, if you look at all these dominant receivers, the T.O.s, the Randy Mosses, and even
Andre
the Fitzgeralds, Andre Johnson, these guys who are like – by far the best at what they do playing receiver, they will seem to win championships. Is wide receiver to you an overrated position in the grand scheme of
Absolutely.
Things in football?
It's the most dependent. It's the most dependent position on the field. You're dependent upon the center. You're dependent upon the quarterback. You're dependent upon the blocking of. I'll give you a prime example. We've been on this show in various episodes and argued T.O.'s abilities at this age. And I sat here and I told y'all that T.O. has not fallen off. But because there was no production in Buffalo, you'd be able to argue that he's fallen off. No, he hasn't fallen off. Fitzpatrick was on his back carrying the sky. They couldn't get any blocking. So if you can't get blocking up front, you're dependent on everyone else on the field in order to do your job. And you're only going to touch the ball 6 to 8 times in a game. So
hey, Brad,
it's dependent.
Hey, Brad, and not to cut you off, but in that year in Buffalo, T.O. still had a 98-yarder, and he put up 800 yards. And most of that came after they switched quarterbacks.
Yeah, you were.
My reason I ask that is because when you think back, the only, receiver who was possibly, one of the top at his position that won the championship outside of, say, Jerry Rice, say since, the 2000s, 90s, or 90s or whatever, is Marvin Harrison. But if you look at, who's ranked as terms of the top receivers in the league, yeah, they don't win championships a lot.
Miami signed Brandon Marshall. They were like, oh, yeah, we got Brandon Marshall. We going to the play. And I was sitting here like, I bet y'all don't. And Brandon Marshall didn't really make a difference in Miami. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, football to me is the biggest team sport. But when you look at the receivers, how much of a difference do they make? Then when you look at even the success that the Eagles have had or the success that the Patriots have had, even though the Eagles haven't won a championship, the Patriots have won a championship, and they have receivers that I can probably go outside right now and pick up guys that could have played their spot.
Yeah. New Orleans, too. Was a seventh-round pick out of Hofstra, their leading receiver. And he threw for 5,000 yards with, some average receivers because their main receiver, Colston, was hurt most of that year.
I think that the game of football, you can break the position down into two things. You can say we need production to move the chains, in which case catching the ball almost replaces or becomes equally as important as running the ball. So now you're talking about short catches, short receptions. Then you've got the deep threat or the deep ball, and the hope is, occasionally we'll hit the deep ball, but the threat of the deep ball will put the defense on edge and cause them to cheat back out of the box to open up the run game. And so I draft a dominant receiver that I hope can do both, but at least do one of the two effectively. And so, as you said, it's a dependent position. So if you're looking at the deep threat type of guy, he's only going to get the ball how many times a game? 2-3 times?
Yeah.
You're looking
at
the short position. So strategic, it's kind of like it's a strategic position. I use my outside guys really to stretch the field because it has to be respected and honored. But are they really going to touch the ball that often? So that's why we see, in the West Coast offense, you find receivers that now can catch the ball 8, 9, 10, 12 times a game because some of those catches are replacing the running game. So I think they've gotten the receiver more involved in the game, and it's a more important position, but it's still the most dependent and overrated position to me.
I kind of agree with you. That's why I just asked the question, see how you guys felt, because when Ezra brought up the point that neither one of these players have won anything, and I'm sitting there thinking about all the great receivers, in my time, and most of the great receivers that I can think of haven't won anything. And like you said, it's the most dependent position. Guys will put up crazy numbers, Flipper Anderson and Henry Yeller type numbers, and don't win anything.
Yeah.
It's been receivers all my
time. Didn't Flipper catch 300 yards one game? In one game, he had 300 yards, right?
Flipper, and then you could put up numbers, and ain't went nothing. So, it is, like you said, a dependent position.
Sterling
Sharp was a beast.
He was. Hey, Jimmy, I got another thing with the whole T.O. and Randy Moss debate. is unfortunately last year three times this happened to Randy Moss.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says your services are no longer needed in the community.
All right, but with that being said, right, play for more teams. Because think about it, T.O. is pretty much in the same boat. He's pretty much in the same boat. T.O. has played for who? The Niners, the Eagles. Where did he go after the Eagles?
He went to Dallas.
Buffalo.
He went to Dallas first.
He went to Dallas, yeah.
Then Buffalo.
And then Cincinnati. Yeah.
And now he'll be on a new team. Now, the last thing I want to say about that, so I'm going with Randy Moss. You two guys are going with T.O. We'll talk to our comrades to see what they think about this. I know P.J. is going to say T.O. because P.J. honestly believes that T.O. is still a top five receiver right now. So I know he's going to say T.O. So we'll check with them later.
Seymour Sejour on Facebook says Randy Moss. Khalif Stripling on Facebook says T.O. I think he's more multidimensional, plus his work ethic is incomparable. I do love Moss, though, but I'd rather have T.O. And Zarifa said Moss.
Yeah, so it's kind of a toss up when you look at what everybody's giving, all the feedback.
My problem with the fans, and no offense to anybody that weighed in, we love you, we appreciate your comments, and we do take them seriously, is the typical fan, not the person that studies the game. The typical fan is in love with the ESPN Sports Center top 10 moments, which Randy Moss is going to give you at least 10 of those a season.
So basically, you're saying T.O. won't.
No, I'm not saying that. T.O. Doug gives you both. T.O. gives you the big moments, but T.O. also moves the chains. T.O. gives you the best of both worlds. You've got a possession receiver, and you've got a deep threat. Randy Moss ain't nobody's possession.
I agree with what you're saying in terms of the fans, you know, liking ESPN highlights. That's why they think that Brett Favre is even good. Anyway. Real quick, since we discussed these two players,
are they looking at that 70,000
yards? Where do you think each guy will end up this season? Now we know that T.O. is coming back from injury, but where do you think that these guys will land?
T.O. will get signed in November when somebody goes down and they need a true starter. Randy isn't represented by Drew Rosenhaus?
Randy, is he at Drew Rosenhaus? I'm not sure who his agent is.
No, I think T.O. is Drew. T.O. is Drew. Either way, if Drew's involved with somebody's career, he's going to tell all his other players to make it hell on that management until his player gets a job. So T.O.'s going to get a job. Randy will get a job. Somebody's going to take a chance. Somebody's going to watch that film of him doing that thing to Darrell Revis last season and say he still got it. So I see them both getting the job and both starting at some point during the season.
You can't pinpoint where they're yet, huh? How about you, Kill? What you think?
Yo, I think because it's Rosenhaus and T.O.'s work ethic, because I think he's supposed to be healed from his surgery, I think T.O. will be playing week one as well as Moss. I see T.O. Who would
you say he's healed already? You said he's healed already?
Yeah, they're saying reports are that they said he'll be ready by training camp or week one. I forgot which one, but they said
he
had the surgery.
Jimmy, why would you do him? You saw what he did in the Super Bowl.
I know, but that's my point, man. He got to be on some drug. You just don't heal like that. FOE.
He got the cream in the clear.
FOH, man. Let's get into some more football talk. But before we do, let me let everybody know how to get in touch with us. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, make sure you check out all of our content. You know what I'm saying? You can check out and sign up for the War Report, which is our weekly newsletter right on our homepage. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company or inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you want to send an email to anybody, any member of the War Room, look right on our page. And while you're there, check out the memorabilia tab because we got all kinds of War Room stuff up in the memorabilia tab. And also, on a weekly basis, always check out our blog, All Is Fair in Sports and War. You can get to that right from warroomsports.com by clicking on blog. And also, we're on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're all over the place. Just check for the War Room. And the one thing I do want to say to you all is if you have an Android or iPhone, we got an app. There's an app for that, the War Room app. Make sure you download that. You got to download the app because the app will give you access to our videos, to our blogs, to our Facebook page, everything right in one spot. And also, we're on iTunes. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast if you listen to the show at any time on your own device. We're taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted if you're already listening from your phone. Just press 1 if you want to talk. You know, we'll call on you and hear what you got to say. Maybe you want to argue about T.O. or Moss or just talk football. Maybe you're just excited because football is back. Whatever you want to do, you know, just call in and we're here to talk to you about some sports. With that being said, guys, let's talk about all this crazy player movement. The league is back, and it's just so much going on that it's hard to keep up with. First thing I want to talk about is your boy, Donovan McNabb going to the Vikings.
No, you said it right the first round.
For a sixth-rounder in 2012 and a sixth-rounder in 2013. Now, some people say that Philadelphia has been spoiled by Donovan McNabb. I disagree. But how do you think he fell? It's to the point now where McNabb has been traded for 2 6-rounders. How far has he fallen? Cobb just got traded for, you know, a solid player in the two. What's up?
No, I was going to say all those people that are like, man, he's an elite quarterback. He's a great QB. I don't see Manning, Brady, Breeze, or Rodgers, and not even Cobb, or guys like Schaub getting traded for 2 6-rounders. Come on, man.
It's like, okay, even if
traded they traded him for a hoagie and a salad.
It's kind of disrespectful, man. It's kind of disrespectful. Let me ask you a question about the Vikings, though, because somebody brought up something to me that's crazy. If you look at the Vikings on paper in terms of names, they look like a good team, and they may be the worst team in their division. Straight up, they might be the worst team in the division, but they got they still got the Williams wall. They got AP, who people argue is the best back in the league. Donovan McNabb, no matter what you think about him, still has a name. So they got some pieces there. They got tight end ball. They got some pieces. My thing is, what do you think the Vikings? Do you think the Vikings will be a contender at all? Do you think they'll be the worst team in the division because they still have the Lions in the division?
Well, I mean, you never know. I don't know, man. I got the Vikings with McNabb. Honestly, I got them going 8-8 this year. And one thing about McNabb, which I think a lot of teams are starting to realize, especially with the Redskins, is that
the Bears are who we thought they were. Not what we thought they were. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we're not about to hook.
So basically, you know, McNabb, he is who us. Yeah, he is who we thought he was, and a lot of people say, well, no, he's this, man, y'all are hating him, but he's just an average QB.
Okay,
Austin,
we got a call on the line. It's our man Chris Foster. Let's see what Chris Foster has to say.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Chris,
I got breaking news on a signing. I got Chad Ochocinco just signed to the Patriots.
Yeah, we have that news. The Patriots have loaded up with Chad Ochocinco and also Haynesworth. I mean, it's crazy to move. What's your opinion on that, Chris? You think that the front runner to win the championship or what? What's your opinion?
Dude, I don't know, dude. You know, Tom Brady, Ochocinco, one of the deep wideouts in the league. I think undefeated this season. They're going to get the record.
Damn, he said undefeated. They also signed Albert Haynes to play their defensive line, which will be crazy because everybody knows that Haynesworth has, like, you know, an attitude problem. But when he plays and Belichick has the ability to change people, he's one of the best defensive linemen in all of football. So the Patriots are loading up for a run. What's your guys' opinion on this?
Yep. They're going to be unstoppable this year, guaranteed.
Oh, okay. We're going to mark it down, 11. Chris, to stand undefeated. What you say, Austin? What you say their record is?
11-5, the usual from Brady. I think that Ochocinco is on the downslide. He's more concerned about his new bride and playing soccer and racing horses and being famous after football. But I still think that he's he's good enough to get off against single coverage, and that's what Bill Belichick likes to create, the mismatches, and allow for situations where players can thrive on their strengths. So this is a good pickup.
Gotcha. Kill, before we let Crystal kill, what do you think? What do you think about Ocho?
Man, I feel like, okay, he's still young enough and in shape enough to be the dominant receiver that he was, but his last couple of years in Cincinnati, you know, I remember he was saying at one point, he said it was like a conspiracy since, you know, he wanted to get traded, you know, that the owner was basically telling Carson Palmer, don't throw him the ball. That's why his numbers went down. Then when T.O. got there, he put up some okay numbers. But it seemed like ever since he did the whole Ocho Cinco thing and then these reality shows, like he's become like a really average receiver. Like he's like,
but you know what? Here's the thing about this: a lot of people are saying that, and I think he knows that. And also, let's not act like Carson Palmer didn't regress to the point where he became trash truck juice, because he was making a lot of bad decisions with the football last year. But real quick though, like Chris, thanks for the call. If you hear anything else? You know, we're here. We're here till 8. So thanks for the call though.
Hey, I got another thing. That T.O. Randy Moss little thing.
Who you got?
Hey.
Who you got?
I don't got neither of them, bro. They're both nothing but trouble. So watch out for the Bengals Shipley.
So Chris,
if you had to choose between the two.
What?
If you had to take one, Chris, you got to take one.
I'll pick Randy Moss any day, dude. Randy Moss is beast.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
All right, thanks for the call, Chris.
No problem.
All right, peace out, Chris.
Peace.
Wow, great.
Yeah,
call,
so
great
that,
call.
That's breaking it. That was, I was going to bring up to you guys that Chris called in first with it. So that's another one of the moves that are being made. Like I said, things are crazy. Kill your Cowboys. They're cutting everybody, man. They let go Roy Williams, Marion Barber, Leonard Davis. What's up with your Cowboys, man?
Yeah, nah, because we knew with this new hard cap coming up, we were like 16 to 18 million over. So we just got rid of dead weight. And, you know, guys with big contracts. I mean, we have three running backs. Well, I guess we would have had four with Barber and the guy we drafted. So we're like, okay, we're, you know, let's let him go. And then our Roy Williams, I mean, we're paying him a ridiculous and absurd amount of money. So they say, let's get rid of him. And, you know, then we got rid of Leonard Davis. And then we got rid of the kicker, Chris Brown, because we already had Beeler. And we just signed a free agent guy for like a minimum. So, you know, it's one of those things where the Cowboys and Jerry Jones, we want to get into this free agent frenzy, but being $19 million over the cap, we weren't going to be able to sign people. And we're talking about restructuring Romo's deal, restructuring Terrence Newman's deal. I want to say maybe Miles Austin and somebody else, so we can get, I guess, I want to say about $10 million under the cap to start bringing some people in.
No doubt. I mean, this new cap, it's kind of crazy, but it's going to force people to spend some dough. It's funny, I was listening to the cats in the grocery line, and they were saying how the Buccaneers got so much money that they had to spend within a one-week period. They compared the Buccaneers to Brewster's, they compared them to Brewster's Millions, saying how they had so much money with the short time to spend it. But what do you guys think about this new cap? Do you think that is going to make it better competition? Because there were rumors that some owners don't care about winning. They're making money, so they don't want to put forth, you know, the best effort to win. What do you guys think about the new cap?
I like it. I like the cap on rookie contracts. I like the there's a minimum you have to spend. I think all 120 million.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's going to kind of like force cats to spend some dough. But it's also, with that being said, it's also going to make some players who don't deserve to get money.
Exactly. It's going to be out there.
No,
it's going to be some contracts.
I think that it, you can avoid that by saying, now that I have to spend my money, I have to spend it. I got to look at this more like a true business decision. So now I'm going to do more due diligence on the player.
But there's only so much you can do. For instance, if they give you a couple weeks to sign all your players up, then you have to do it within a certain time frame.
Jimmy, this isn't just one season. This isn't just this season. This is going to be for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's definitely moving forward. Yeah. But with that being said,
it's not always going to be just a one-week situation. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's still going to be like a trickle-down effect where there are going to be players that get big contracts who just don't deserve it. Because you can take as much time as you want to. There's only a certain amount of players out there that, you know, play the game at a high level. So once those players have signed with other teams, you have a certain amount of money to spend, and there's a limited amount of players you can spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know
well,
what I'm saying?
I
so it's like, it's going to be some, gonna be some bad contracts out there.
There's always going to be bad contracts, but I think under this, it forces owners to not treat this like it's a video game and really start making more conscientious decisions, putting more due diligence efforts behind the players they sign because they have to spend
the money. I
mean,
I think they do as much as they can now. I mean, because the owners are tight.
No, Al Davis, come on. Al Davis, all you got to do is say, listen, yo, Al, he is fast. I saw him run the onion, and he's going to cut that check.
Al Davis, first off, Al Davis died 10 years ago. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. They just rolled a little wheelchair out there. So Al Davis has been dead. But with that being said, the spirit of Al Davis, all he wants to do is sign people. All he wants to do is sign people. And the thing about he's going to put more due diligence behind it, or he's going to spend?
Nah, he's a bad example because Al Davis is going to spend no matter what. Al Davis doesn't even care about the salary cap.
Yo, when the owners ratified the new deal, Al Davis didn't even want to participate. He was like, when can
exactly.
I sign?
Exactly.
Al's
an outlier. It don't even matter.
He's going to do what he wants to do anyway. You know what I'm saying? He's going to do what he wants to do anyway. But I'm talking about the other owners. Once the great players are signed, there's going to be some guys out there left, and you're going to have to spend your money. You're going to have to spend it. There's only so many good players in the league.
No,
the league is watered down.
You can even renegotiate the deals that you have. Pay them more if you're getting here or lock it up in performance bonuses.
But is that going to count against the cap?
That count towards the cap. Make sure that they count.
Can you do that, though? I mean, I have to look into that. I don't know if you could do that. Because you have to have a certain amount of money on your books by a certain date. It can't be. Because what if the guys don't hit the performance bonuses? Then, if that was the case, what they would do is make crazy performance bonuses. Like, you got to throw for 10,000 yards to get so many million. You know what I mean? Like, so you can't do that. It has to be on your books. And, Akil, what's your opinion? Do you think, like, I think there will be some bad contracts because of this?
There's always going to be bad contracts. The question is it going to make
more bad contracts.
Less bad contracts. Case in point. Let's look at with the high cap that they had and all the different workarounds. Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder. Like, the Redskins have had so many bad contracts come through there. The Cowboys, we have had so many bad contracts come through there because those guys have the cash to spend it. Now what's going to happen is, you know, you're going to have other teams probably signing the same bad contract. I think the Eagles and the Patriots are probably upset with this new rule because now they have to spend money and, you know, they can't, I guess, kind of be ahead or be as shrewd and save as much money as, you know, more than other teams and still be competitive. So it's interesting. I think teams like that lose out in this type of deal. And other teams are just going to spend money and you're going to have – cats to be honest, Nnamdi, he's commanding $20 million right now, but is he really worth $20 million? You know, so that means 5 years from now, Nnamdi Thatcher is going to take $30 million.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be like the guys that spend, the Jerry Jones, the Al Davises, the Daniel Snyder, they're not going to change what they do, but you're going to force guys to spend money who generally don't spend money. Like the Browns owner, now he has to spend a certain amount of money so he can't go pick his team up out of a police lineup. He has to spend money. And if he continues to do that, he has to spend a certain amount of money in which he wasn't spending. You got teams that have been under the cap, like egregious amounts of money under the cap, and now they have to spend that money. And there's not really that many great players. The league is watered down. There's too many teams, so it's not that many great players. So you want to have players who are average players that would only command a certain amount on the market now getting bigger contracts. I mean, that was the give and take of negotiations, you know, as part of the new deal. So I see what the Cowboys were doing, but it's going to be interesting to see moving forward, like you said. Chris brought up what the Patriots are doing. You guys gave your opinion of Chad Ochocinco. What's your opinion of the move to pick up Albert Haynesworth? They gave a fifth-round pick. So what will Belichick get out of him? You think Belichick can, like, you know, turn around his image around him?
Great move. It's not even about turning his image around. It's about
what I meant to say is not his image. Can you get his attitude changed to where he can become the dominant player he was?
Here's what the Patriots have. One of the greatest systems in the history of sports, where they already know they have X amount of players in play. Albert, he distinguishes himself, and he's a starting right end on a 3-4. Worst case, it fails. We've already got seven D linemen on the roster, so we have a choice. We can plug them in and plug them, and if it's the middle of the road, you have a rotation. You're just rotating fresh linemen out of the game. So I think for what they gave up for Albert, who is, as much as we hate to say, you know, Fat Albert, you know, he is the most talented interior D lineman in the league. You know, so to only have to give up fifth and sixth round, I think it was, you know, that was great. That was great. And I think they'll get 2 to 3 great good years out of dude.
So you don't think he'll be on the ground doing the worm this year like he was last year?
Nah, he could only do that. Yo, ever notice a man that demands respect gets respect? Don't nobody respect Daniel Snyder, and so therefore nobody did show.
Yo, how you blame that on Daniel Snyder?
So Dan Snyder gave him like $100 million or whatever he guaranteed, $50 million or something.
Yo, he disrespected himself with that contract.
Yo, your man was laying on the ground doing the worm.
Hey, hey, hey.
Doing.
It's Fat Albert.
Yo,
Doc
Fay,
what do you think about the move?
I don't know, man, because I know Albert Haynesworth was so upset and complaining about playing in the 3-4, saying like, man, I'm a 4-3 D tackle. I don't need this. So now he goes to a team where all they do is institute the 3-4. So psychologically, I'm trying to figure out how he's going to be affected by that and how they're going to play him, or he's just going to just shut up and play ball like we all expected him to do in Washington. So I think it's
The Patriots run a 4-3 on third down. They run a 4-3 on third down.
Are you telling me he's going to be a third down player now?
Nah, they're going to play him. They're going to play him at end. If it works out, they're going to play him at end. They're going to play him at end in the 3-4 on first and second down, and then when they bring the four down linemen, he'll play on the interior to get an interior pressure.
So you're saying he's going to be a four-down player?
No, three-down.
Is that what you said? Oh, they said three-down player.
Yeah,
okay,
but it's situational. You can use him in various situations and roles. If things don't go well, but you have the option to use him as an interior lineman on third downs, cool.
Because they have Booker. Don't they have Wilkinson already playing D tackle?
Yep. No, Wilkinson plays D end. He plays left. He plays on the left side. Ty Warren is their nose tackle, and Albert is projected to be their right end.
Okay, that's not a bad line right there, yo. That's kind of tough.
Yo,
one of the linebackers can put his hand down in the dirt on third down, and they slide to a 4-3. Bring in the nickel linebackers.
Yeah, that's kind of tough right there. Doc Bay, what are you going to say?
I was going to say, so instead of like, you know how you had a third down back, then Brad, you're saying Albert Haynesworth would be like the third down tech.
Yo, I mean,
exactly.
That's a nice little line right there when you look at it that way. I mean, if you look at the history, there's been a lot of players that came that had baggage, so to speak, like Randy Moss, and he put up tremendous numbers there. Even back to Corey Dillon. Remember Corey Dillon? He was considered the head case in Cincinnati, and he became a productive player once he got into that Patriot system. So, you know, time will tell whether Belichick can do anything with him. What's your guys' opinion of this move right here? Matt Hasselbeck to Tennessee.
I think it's good. I think it's good for the guy behind him, the rookie. He'll have a consummate professional to learn from. I think that quiet is kept. You know, Matt doesn't make a lot of noise. He's kind of like considered a nice guy, but he's a fierce competitor because he's one of those guys with a chip on his shoulder. Yo, he don't have a strong arm. He's got a noodle for an arm, barely stronger than Chad Pennington, and you know, he's balding. People don't look at him. He's kind of unassuming. So he always wants to win. He always wants to beat the athletes that are always picked ahead of him. So I don't think that he realizes that he's there to groom a rookie, kind of like Kurt Warner with Matt Leinart. Like, he's going to go out there and try and win for Tennessee, and I think that'll inspire the guy behind him, and it'll also be good for the team atmosphere. He's going to be the exact opposite of Vince Young, so I think it's a good pickup. They may have paid a little bit too much money for him.
I mean, the guy you were speaking of, the young guy, is Jake Locker, by the way. So you think he'll be a good teacher for Locker?
Yeah, because left to his own devices, Jake Locker is pretty athletic, and he depends on that athleticism, and he needs somebody that can show him the nuances of the game. The NFL is not going to be able to get away from linebackers the way he did in college.
Got you. Kill, before I get your opinion, real quick, in the chat room, shop at John, but he said he's taking Randy Moss all day. So it's funny because that's so close that when I'm looking on Facebook and Twitter to our responses to that question, it's like tit for tat, Moss, T.O., Moss, T.O. And it's funny because these guys are always going to be compared to each other. But anyway, what's your opinion of the Hasselbeck move to Tennessee? Do you think he'll also be a good teacher for Locker? Do you think you agree with Austin?
I don't know, man. I mean, I look at Hasselbeck to Tennessee as a tiny upgrade over Collins, and I mean, because Hasselbeck is on the way down. But it'd be interesting to see how he fits with Chris Johnson, you know, and they'll have a new coach. So you know what? I take that back because I know Fisher was more conservative and you know, ran the ball. So with a new coach system, you know, it actually may be better for Tennessee and Hasselbeck. I always look at Tennessee as a team that was like really boring, and it didn't really matter who had his quarterback because either a quarterback ran like Vince Young or Chris Johnson got like 2,000 and they played D and they were just kind of boring to watch. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe that'll be more exciting to have. But
he goes to Tennessee, and then your man Tavares, or as Dad likes to call him, to garbage Jackson, signs up with the Seahawks. Any thoughts on that?
No. Hold on. Why? I'm trying to, like, figure out what has Tavares Jackson done to receive...
To get a job in the NFL, period?
Yeah, I'm like, how is he, like, high on Seattle's
He has shown flashes of having
of
ability,
what?
But it's not consistent. I've seen him play. I've seen him make some good passes, but there's also one
no,
thing
that, was,
that he
no,
has...
That was, Joe, that was Joe Webb. That was Joe Webb. They look alike.
No, there's also one thing that Tavares has, and that's, you know, his athleticism. A lot of times guys who have type athleticism continue to get jobs, you know. So, but here's something funny about that, considering him going to the Seahawks. Your man McThrone gets to Minnesota. A couple hours later, Sidney Rice is like, yo, I'm out. He also is in Seattle. Now, I'm not saying that's why. But it was kind of funny to see McNabb sign up and Sidney be like, yo, I'm out. So now they're going to have Tavares Jackson, your man Sidney Rice. So it looks like they're getting their USC on. It's going to bring in a bunch of, you know, try to sign a bunch of guys over there in Seattle. They got the owner who's willing to spend money. They got the coach who likes to be flashy. So what do you guys think about the Seahawks moving forward? Because they also, speaking of, they also got Robert Gallery, who was like the number two pick of the draft, if I'm not mistaken.
I think if Merwan Lynch is interested in really being an every game dominant player and gives it his all, they should be okay on offense. But who's their starting pick? Merwan Lynch.
Him? I mean, Marshawn.
Marshawn, yeah, whatever.
Merwan.
Yo.
Yeah, well, my thing is.
Shout out to my man Merwan Porter.
So you think that the Seahawks could be a team up on the rise? I mean, they're spending money. They're trying to win. What's your opinion, Doc Bay?
Seattle, man, they went 7-9, won a division, went to the playoffs last year, Pete Carroll. Man, they just signed Tavares. They'll go 8-8 this year. Tavares will make the one game better.
Hey, that might make them win the division, though.
I know.
No. Hey, look, Pete Carroll doing his thing, man. Shout out to Pete Carroll. But, yo, another move, Santonio really didn't move. He stayed put. Did you guys think he would stay put or you think he was gone?
I thought he would stay put because a lot of people aren't willing to take the chance on his You know, he's an off the field challenge. You know, he likes to dabble with the chiba. He likes to party a little bit, and I think the situation for him in New York is perfect because they know how to handle him, and he's a heck of an on the field talent. I mean, so I expected this.
Now, Doc Bay, what do you think about San Antonio? Did you think that San Antonio would stay put, or do you think he would move?
Yeah. I think especially after, you know, coming from Pittsburgh and all of that, I mean, I think there was a comfortability factor there for the reason why he stayed. Yeah.
Now, what's funny is it's like a domino effect. It's sort of like fantasy football in a sense. Because they signed him, now they're saying that they may not re-sign Braylon. Now that Sidney Rice has left Minnesota, they're talking about Braylon, and Minnesota's really eyeing Braylon now. But now the Cardinals just picked up Cobb. Now they want to jump in the mix and put Braylon opposite Fitzgerald. So, like, Braylon has, like, got a little bidding going on between, you know, the Vikings and the Cardinals. And there's also the possibility of the Jets. The Jets are still in the mix with Braylon as well. So where do you guys think Braylon should go? What do you think the best fit for him, and where do you think he will go?
Braylon needs to work on not dropping the ball.
Exactly.
Hey, T.O., you guys told me how great T.O. is. He dropped the ball more than anybody.
But you in your own mind don't believe in that, you know. You don't believe that Braylon Edwards is T.O., so, I mean, come on, man. Let's get real here.
I didn't say Braylon that.
Braylon Edwards will make the spectacular catch, but Braylon Edwards will drop a pass standing flat-footed in front of a QB 12 yards. Like,
No, my question to you is, though, where do you think he should go and where do you think he will go? Like, if you look at the teams that are interested in him, where do you think is the best fit for him? And where do you think he will go?
If he goes to the Arizona Cardinals, he's gonna get a playoff run in the next two seasons because Kevin Cobb is a monster. You heard it here first. I said it.
You're
co-signing
Kevin Cobb. You're saying Kevin Cobb is going to be a problem.
He's going to be trouble, a problem, and work for defenses.
I'm of the opinion that let's just wait and see. Like I said, I'm not ready to rush to judgment. But in terms of him getting the money, like I always say, I don't care what kind of money he got. I don't care that the Cardinals pay him $21 million for every win that he's ever got. That's none of my concern. So
right.
Let's wait and see with Kevin Cobb in terms of that. But if Braylon went there, he would be opposite Fitzgerald. You know, he would have a quarterback. They had their quarterback in the future. They paid him like one. So, but the other option is to play with Donovan McNabb in Minnesota or, you know, take less money and stay with the Jets. Doc Beck,
well,
do you think he should go?
If he goes to Donovan, at least he won't have to worry about dropping it. It'll never get to him.
Doc Bay, where do you think he should go and where do you think he will go?
You know what, man? I think I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think he'd be a good fit in Denver, you know, especially after losing Braylon Edwards. What's my dude that always get in trouble with against his wife? I think he'll fit good in Denver with Orton and Tebow. So I mean, he could be like the man there. Where with the Jets, you know, San Antonio is more reliable receiver. So Sanchez, you know, in crunch time and money time is going to San Antonio, and then other places, especially Arizona, he'll be number two. But you know, if he wants to be the man, I would say go to Denver.
But I don't know if Denver's in the mix. I mean, they got Brandon Lloyd, who had a crazy season. Had a crazy season last year. But it looks like the front runners, out of the teams that are the front runners right now, is Minnesota. It's the Cardinals and the Jets are still in the mix. Out of those teams right there, where do you think the best fit for them?
I would say you said you mentioned Minnesota, right?
Minnesota wants to pair him up because they lost Sidney Wright. And it's funny
because
anytime somebody signs, it's a domino effect. You would say Minnesota over Arizona?
Yeah, because Minnesota, he has a chance to, like, be the man there. I mean, it's up to him. Does he want to be a number one or a number two? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
If he works on his drops, he can be a number one easily. So, but, you know, I think it depends on what he wants to be.
Hey, the one thing I do like about Braylon and you watch him play is he blocks, and a lot of receivers don't block. Shout out to my man Randy Moss. That being said, D'Angelo Williams has stayed in Carolina. Any thoughts on D'Angelo staying put?
Not really. I mean, he. Maybe he either. I'm sure like he has a house there. You know, I'm sure. You know, he's comfortable there. So if he's getting the same money in Carolina, they probably would have received somewhere else. He's probably like, well, would I need to move and do all of this stuff? And
yeah, Carolina's pretty much signing up a lot of their free agents. Carolina's, you know, doing that. Austin, you got any thoughts on D'Angelo Williams?
Yeah, I'm going to go in a different direction than Q. I'm going to say that very soon, gone are the days of the workhorse, super –
Yeah, basically, I understand what you were trying to get to. You're saying that every down back is pretty much gone at this point.
Yeah, gone are the days of the every down 1,600-yard back, and I think that his agent advised him to take that money because it may not be there as soon as, you know, a year or two from now, and he may not get it on the open market. So take it, you know,
yeah.
Take it now.
And I'm glad you
And he's in a good
up,
situation.
Because...
He's got a good backup. Stewart is a starter on most teams.
I'm glad you brought that up because that leads me to my next question. You know, the domino effect of this offseason, so to speak, is Reggie Bush has been traded to Miami. So my question to you is, what does this mean for Ricky Williams, for Ronnie Brown, and also for the Saints, and also Reggie Bush, or as we call him, Reggie Kardashian? What do you think this does in overall? This whole thing is crazy. Like I was telling you guys, as you watch these moves being made, you see like a domino effect, and it's just crazy. So what do you guys think this is going to do to Miami?
Now, y'all know that I'm far from a Reggie Bush fan. In fact, I think that he definitely has not lived up to his draft position. But I will say this. There's a lot of people talking about Reggie Bus being really a bust. And let's be clear here. Dude is too much of a threat on the field to be considered a bust, and he's another one of these players that you have to account for with more than one player. So he's going to take the attention of a D lineman, a linebacker, and a safety. So three players are out of the picture, so you can't really call him a bust. And I don't think that New Orleans offense is going to be as fluid without him. So he's definitely, you know, with that regard, I think he's not a bust. I think he's going to bring more explosion to Miami. Miami was like last in offense, or second from last. Ricky Williams,
yeah,
Still in good shape. Think he can be productive, but he's not a starter any longer. And I always thought Ronnie Brown was a fraud.
Oh.
Wow. Kill, you got anything to say about all that?
Yeah, I think actually New Orleans, they lose an asset. Like, he wasn't like a main asset. But he was like a nice accessory that, you know what, like he was like a, he wasn't your gear, like, or like your clothes. He was like a nice watch.
He's like your watch. He's like back in the day. You know, you're like a watch. No.
Y'all just called
like
my man. Y'all just called my man Kim's pocketbook.
He's like a watch.
You know, so they lose that accessory for, let's say, you know, X amount of plays per, I guess you can say per game, and they lose the return ability. But I think in Miami, I mean, and I think they'll be able to replace that, not with one person, but I think by committee. In Miami, I think Miami thinks they're getting this superstar player where he's just an accessory. So I can see them thinking like, wow, we got Reggie Bush, so we want to go to the Super Bowl and we're going to do this. But, I mean, he's
not
at every
town. They're going to fit anyway. Like you said, when they got Brandon Marshall, they thought they were going to the Bowl. I think to me, he's more than just an accessory. Yeah, let's keep with that analogy. He is an accessory, but he's not the watch. He's like a nice belt. And sometimes if your outfit is fly, but you take your belt off, the outfit's just not fly no more. Because Reggie Bush takes away so much. Like you were saying, Brad, when you look at him on the field and you look at him when he left the Saints offense, they stopped moving.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who was out there. As soon as he comes back after the injury, the offense starts moving a little bit because he's drawing so much attention. Now the receivers are starting to catch the ball. See, football is like, it's like chess. So much going on that a lot of things
right.
the average fan doesn't see or doesn't understand.
Right.
Reggie Bush may go an entire game, have three
yeah.
carries and two catches, and he completely changed the complexity of that
yeah.
game. And you're
right.
losing that.
You're right.
And whether you can make it up or not, we shall see, because the Saints got like 64 running backs.
Your point could be boiled down to, when Reggie's on the field, you got to account for him with more than one player. And that's one or two players that are out of that play for anyone else or other responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're absolutely right, yo.
He's
just got mad.
And
he could get to the house. Yeah, he could get to the house on any play. But I just got mad when they started mentioning his name in the same vein with my man B. West, 36. Because
that's why you started hating on him.
He was a young Marshall.
Yeah, you I know what it is. You hated him because they compared him to B. West, and also because he took Kim's Uchiwali, and you ain't like that either. So now you just forever hate on him. Yo, so do they still run that Wildcat down there in Miami?
Yo, I hate Ronnie Brown. I'm sorry. My bad. That was unnecessary.
Yeah, now, what's your bone with Ronnie Brown? Why you don't like Ronnie Brown? Why you got a bone with him?
Yo, because I hate the Wildcat, and I blame Ronnie Brown for the Wildcat, and I know it's the coaches, but I just associate it with him, and there's no running back that should have to be in on a gimmick play. So it makes me feel like, yo, you're not a real running back. Yo, you run the Wildcat.
Now think about it.
You go sit down at the table. You say, yo, I'm Chris Johnson. Yo, I'm Adrian Peterson. Yo, I'm Brian Westbrook. I'm LaDainian. Yo, hi, I'm Ronnie Brown. I run the Wildcat.
Yo, I understand what you're saying, right? And I hate it myself. But that one season, when they started running that, it was working. So it's like, yo,
yeah.
I hate it, but if the other team can't stop it, yo, what am I to say? It's working.
Yo, gimmicks always work when they first start. Now it's gay. Now it's an Allen.
I mean,
now it's an Allen play.
You know, and even the Eagles are running it. When they first brought Vic in, what did they do? Put him in nothing but a Wildcat situation.
Wildcat.
Yeah,
didn't
but
some
that
people
was,
call that
but,
the Wild Dog? Weren't they calling that the
Wild
Dog?
Yeah, they were calling that the Wild Dog. I ain't going to comment on that one. But it's like, you know, like you said, the gimmicks do work, but you associate that with him, so you just disrespect this boy just because, you know, of the Wildcat.
Well, he's overrated. He was overrated as a running back. But then, yo, his coaches thought so little of him that they were saying, like, yo, the only way we can get you off pause is to put you in a gimmick formation. So now you're going to be the gimmick man. Your name is Gimmick Man. Ronnie Brown is no longer Ronnie Brown. His name is Gimmick Man. You're a professional gimmick.
I got no comment on that one. Moving on, though. Your man Plaxico, a.k.a. Cheddar Bob.
Cheddar Bob.
Yo, Plaxico, a.k.a. Cheddar Bob, is likely to go to the Giants or Steelers, who happen to be the two teams he previously played for. Again, I ask you, where do you think he should go, and where do you think he will go?
To the Eagles for $5 an hour.
On a serious note, I know that's where you want him to go. Where do you think he should go, and where do you think he will go? Those are the two front runners. So between those two teams, Steelers and Giants.
Brandon Jacobs is offering to give up Chewies to get him back on the squad, so I don't know. It may end up being New York. But, you know, Ben Roethlisberger is like his young boy, so I don't know. Ben might be campaigning as well.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. If you look at the Giants' offense, when he left,
they don't need
their offense left. Yo, they do need him. Yo. When he was there, their offense was moving. When he left, it stopped moving because, yo, it was several plays where Eli was like, yo, what side he on? I'm just throwing it up.
True.
Like in that game.
Yo,
remember that Eagles game in overtime? The NFC championship
is won. In that Eagles game in overtime, he said, yo, what side he on? I'm just going to throw it up.
For real.
So what do you think, though? What do you think, Doc Vay? Where do you think he should go and will go? Because, the Steelers are a good team, too, though.
Like, I mean, I think he should go to the Eagles in terms of a fresh start, but I think the Giants are jumping back in the mix because if you're the Giants, you're like, yo, why do we want him to go to the Eagles if he has something less, I mean, something left, and they're in our division, so let's get him back. Now, with Pittsburgh, you know, it's interesting. I mean, they have a new coach than the coach that he played for, so that's an interesting twist. And then you have Roethlisberger there, and Ward, Hines Ward is still there. But it's kind of surprising that Pittsburgh would even open up the door for that because their thing was like, you know, they really didn't want to have anything else to do with him. You know, they moved on. And, yo, what's his name? Bill Parcells, they said in the draft when Plaxico was coming up, Parcells has a certain type of player that he wants to draft. And he said Plaxico was a bad human being and he would never draft a guy like that.
Wow. Damn. Yo, Ben Roethlisberger is raping, Hines Ward is drinking, and Plaxico is shooting. That's an interesting
And Harrison is apologizing. Mendenhall is humping.
He's humping around.
Yo, Mendenhall is trying to break Mannheimen, so he got his own issues. He's an Allen. But with that being said, right, next thing I want to talk about is this. Chris Johnson and DeSean Jackson are holding out. Because when you look at their production and what they make, I see why they're holding out. Like I mentioned earlier, DeSean Jackson, after he pays his agents, lawyers, he's making about the same as your local sandwich artist. Do you think he'll get a new deal? I mean, what do you think he was going to do? They're going to play hardball with him, Paul, or do you think they're going to give him his dough and let him come in?
Who? Cheddar Bob?
The gangbanger with me, DeSean I'm talking about. DeSean.
Oh, DeSean. Yo, let's get one thing clear, man. I'm as excited to see DeSean play as everyone else because when he gets the ball, yo, it is a joy and a pleasure and a pleasure and a joy to see that man with the rock. But I think we get caught up in emotion as Philadelphia fans and we overrate the dude. Yo, he is ultimately one-dimensional, and he ain't catching. And unlike Randy Moss, he's not catching over three dudes in the double team. And I have seen him get taken out of games for long periods of time. So I do think they should pay him. He earned it. But let's not get ridiculous with the 5 years, $50 million, 5 years. Yo, get that man about 60% of what you gave Santonio, and call it what it is, and let's keep it moving.
Wow.
Yo, Brad, I agree in terms of DeSean. As great as a talent as he is and running back punts and his 50, 60, 70, 80 yarders that he catches. But like you said, I remember when McBounce Pass was still y'all's quarterback and we had to play y'all towards the end of the season. And I was telling people, yo, all we got to do is keep DeSean Jackson, just put like three safeties back and keep him from beating us. And if the game's going to be close, we're going to win because McNabb is not going to do anything in crunch time. So that was the key.
Let me
keep it close. Let me keep DeSean out the end zone. And that's it.
You're exactly right. Watch this. Yo, Jimmy, what offense do the Eagles run?
The West Coast offense.
Have you ever seen him run a slant?
No, I haven't. But the thing about the West Coast is the West Coast offense in the NFL today is not the same West Coast from Bill Walsh where they run slants, and I mean it's evolved as an offense.
It has evolved, but the fundamentals are still there. And that dude wants nothing. He wants no parts of anything in between the hashes. Like, and I understand he's a little guy.
When he caught something between the hashes, he's got his head knocked.
Yo, him and Wes Welker are the same size. I don't want to hear it.
But my thing is, if you look at his production and what he makes. Yo,
mm-hmm.
I told you the ball makes the same as your local sandwich artist, man. Yo,
he's owed more money. He's owed more money. I can give him $5 million a year. I can give him $6 million a year.
How about Chris Johnson? Because, you know, the funny thing is I hear the same argument that people make about Chris Johnson saying that he's not an every down back. Like, they still exist for one, and he's small. First off, he is an every down back. If you watch the games, you notice he's in there on every play. I mean,
What are they talking about?
Let's be clear about Chris Johnson. Chris Johnson runs so fast that he looked at Dominic Rogers Cromartie, who also might add runs a 4.29. He looked at him and laughed. See, you can't catch me, little guy. So
yeah.
he's a freak. He's a little bit different. I mean, he runs as fast as he needs to. If you got the Jamaican sprinter bull behind him, he's gonna outrun him. I mean, he's different.
How much faster is he than Deshaun? Because Deshaun don't play no games either. He gets busy.
He's another one. Certain guys, you can't go by what the clock says because they run in a different gear. And Deshaun's clock times are actually very fast, but I think he's faster than that.
You trying to say he runs a 3-9 on game day? I'm saying on game day in the ball game.
On game day he could talk to Deion Sanders in his prime on game day.
Yo, because here's my thing, right? My thing is, I understand what you guys are saying about Deshaun, but like you said, the production is there. But it's like, I understand you don't go across the middle, but, yo, the attention you draw, you bring him in motion, the defense is scared.
Yeah, you're right. Now, like, Jimmy, he deserves a raise. Like, he deserves
he deserves a raise. I mean, giving him $5 to $6 million a year, but don't come talking to me about eight figures. Yo, I'm not paying that dude $10, $11, $12 million a season. I'm not.
I don't get mad when Ken asks for dough because, hey, get what you can get. But at the end of the day, I know they owe that man some money.
From a player perspective, I agree with you, but I'm a businessman. I'm a businessman, so I'm thinking from owners. I'm an owner.
I give him a 1,000% raise. I give him a 1,000% raise.
Yeah.
I get you.
What's 1,000% raise will put him at what, Kill?
About $5 million.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I get what you're saying, but they gotta pay that man. They gotta definitely pay that.
We could go six years, $35 million, $7 million guaranteed, $7 million up front, and 20 even 18 guaranteed. You know, I can see that.
I got two quick questions though. We're two quick questions because we running out of time.
Go ahead.
Kevin Cobb is now a Cardinal. Just give me your quick opinion. Will he end up being a great quarterback, or will this not work out for them? Real quick though, make it quick though, Austin.
I see Kevin Cobb.
I know you said he's going to be a great player.
I see Matt Bulger in his prime. Not Matt without the line. I see shades of even Kurt Warner with dude. He's super accurate, and I think he's going to be very good. Not great, but very good.
Okay, very good. Doc Bay.
I think it could be like Brad said, Mark Bulger / Matt Schaub / a little bit less than Warner, Kurt Warner. So, yeah, I think he'll put up 4,000.
I heard today that, you know, Matt Bulger's not in the league no more. They said a couple of teams gave him a call, and the boy said he wants nothing to do with football right now. He's tired of getting hit. So his line got so bad that he's done with football completely. Yo, and my last question to you guys, what are your thoughts on old Purple Hands, a.k.a. Brett Favre, all the rumors of him coming back? What do you think?
I got a better question. Who's better, him or McNabb, Jimmy?
Brett Favre?
Or Donovan, or Donut McGlaze.
That's a tough one. That's like, because I think they both stink. So it's like, I don't know, man. That's a tough one, man. They both stink. I don't like either one of them.
I'll be honest, yo. Brett Favre is 41 years old. They didn't block for him.
That's like asking me who's better between David Wingate and Kenny Payne.
Who cares?
You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of question you just asked me, man. They both stink, man.
Tyler.
I love Brett Favre. Had a great career. I don't want no parts of him at 41 years old after he's been beat on like a drum. That's my answer.
Doc
Ben, no
what do you think? You think you stay away?
Yeah, go retire, man.
I think you should chill.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
He's got the arm strength, but he has nothing else that's needed for the game. He can't run. He's not mobile. He needs a perfect line, a perfect blocking scheme, or he's going to get pummeled.
Brett Favre, keep your old ass home. With that being said, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening. Shout out to my co-hosts for holding it down and all the listeners. Another special shout out to Chase Alexander McMillan, aka Cam. Shout out to you coming home tonight. And we want to thank the fans for all your support and getting us to our 50th episode. We look forward to bigger and better things for a long time to come. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another edition of the War Room. We'll check in on NFL camps after all the player movement dust settles and catch you up on the latest in sports from last week. So, again, check us out next Thursday.
Hey yo, regardless of rain or snow, sleet or hail, I kick street sales, choking niggas like I'm Freewell. Golden State, holy your fate in the palm of my hand, blow you away like it's part of the plan. I gotta call it like I see it, talking like I be it, walking my walk, dubbed out, orthopedic, cause I'm soon to be up. Give me room, watch me heat up. Niggas try to stick me like I drew Luima, follow the leader, make me go extra hard. Yo, Norris, should I hold back or show the repertoire? Quit at 16 or throwing extra balls just for the non-believers. I show them why it's so hard to reach us. I get pussy with my father's features. Puff heavily. See me at 6'1", weigh a buck 70. Catch me in spots y'all niggas never be. Packed in like Green Bay, Harlem Week to Queens Day. Performing a cappella, no DJ. 98 live, no replay. Make it seem easy. So tell a friend and tell a friend that it's them again. Pizza, no Diego, wow.
Champagne on the rocks, born to Fort Knox, Lazarus, Shark, style of a carriage, corn chops and applesauce, swing connection, disrespect and watch your body cave and pump the shoddy gauge and hit the shorty while he potty training. I ain't playing, I'm truly the worst, to be the first to get his whole body fully reversed. Uzi, your hurts, leave you double dead. I'm a bubblehead, I never listen to nothing my mother said. And yo, I hold niggas ransom for money like Charlie Handsome. The son of niggas so long, I think I got a grandson. My passion is money, a stash and a honey that won't ask no questions. But don't blast anybody, that's my kind of girl. Kind of world I wanna live in, not a cell or a prison or in hell. So I'm getting just a little ghetto. Where my niggas control the middle and know the riddles of life. While others know only a little.
Rich places, sick places. See my story, 6,666 pages. Wages, I wrote 6 aces. And at the same dice game, I caught 6 cases. All over big faces. Now tip laces, ready to dig faces. But the banging ain't a bitch faces. Niggas building up their rib cages. Cats like the rip places. Bloody lip faces. Kim is a big racist. But I stand for the big places. But the world know your girl though. I fuck her off a furlough. She'll be up, put me up. All your sales could be luck. Only question for these ducks is baby girl, could we fuck? You the type that need a wife. LUX told y'all the key to life. Asshole, y'all don't play around. I lay it down, fuck around, I spray around. Flick a biscuit, nigga risk it. My ass, yo, kick it.
Ain't no nigga in the world you know thorough than this. Bust off and sit the hot barrel dead on your lips like 2/3 of a brick. Panero and kiss the crystal white fluffy parts that'll come back quick. See, the plan is to stash y'all, cash y'all. The weed's so strong, they gotta put it in glass jars. Niggas try to smoke me out, then smoke me out. The rims on my new joint be poking out. I'm about to have no feelings. Shit is deep. Do they dance with the devil when they sleep? I wake up gripping the air, wishing to hear shit that they kick in your ear when your soul drifts in the air. My gift is half rotten when I spit it to tears. That shit is dropped down my eye. I'm too tired to cry. And I ain't never seen a nigga that's too live to die. They say you get what you ask for. Get it cause you ask for it. A nigga ain't a thief, then he better have the cash for it. And we gon' be around till your body rot. And if the feds rung us in, we get the same time.